smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The whole point of medical insurance is for those just-in-case times, right? You pay the premiums. Sometimes it kills you to pay the premiums. But if you need it, it's really nice to know that it's there. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where we talk about all sorts of issues that are of interest to dog owners and those of us who love and spend tons of time with our favorite four-legged furry friends. My guest in this episode is Brian Inessa. Brian's a spokesman for VPI Pet Insurance, Veterinary Pet Insurance. Welcome, Brian.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
You are very welcome. VPI and pet insurance in general has been around for quite some time, has it not?
That's correct. We've been around. We are actually the oldest and largest pet insurer in the United States, and we've been around since 1980. And issued our first policy in 1982 to, interestingly enough, one of the lassies on the television program.
All right. Now, did that lassie have to get a different sort of insurance policy? You know, like the way Lloyd's of London will insure certain actors, you know, the throwing arm of a quarterback.
I'd be interested to see what our policies, how they were constructed back in 1982. I'm assuming it was a base medical plan that covered the different accidents and illnesses, the many different conditions that are related to accidents and illnesses, similar to the plans we have today.
So how does it work? I'm asking you, so of course you're going to tell me it's a good idea, but in general, is it always a good bet to get veterinary pet insurance for a dog when that dog is healthy and young and vibrant and nothing's wrong?
Right. Well, I think the best time if you're going to insure a pet is when they're young. Similar to humans, when they're considering health insurance, you want to minimize the risk of having a pre-existing condition develop before you decide to get insurance. So the younger and healthier the pet is, the better the time to get insurance or a medical coverage for your pet. Is it a good idea? I think it's a great idea for people that have a strong bond with their pet, that want to make sure that they have the best medical coverage or medical care available if the unexpected were to happen, and also for those that want to manage the risk involved financially.
So, first of all, is medical insurance for your dog less expensive the way, for instance, life insurance is if you buy it when you're younger, or is that not a concern?
Well, it is less expensive than insurance premiums that other people might relate to. I always say, to give it some perspective, a premium to cover a dog is usually less than your monthly cable bill.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant, is it cheaper if you buy it when your dog is younger than if you buy it when your dog is older?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the factors that we consider when establishing premiums, of course, is the dog's age. So the younger the dog, the less you're going to pay. And we have incremental rises in premium as the dog ages. So, yes.
So let's talk about Lulu, since she's my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here, and I might as well get a twofer out of this, right, rather than having to call you separately and get a quote.
Okay.
We'll do it right here and share it with the world. So Lulu's 2 years old, and she's perfectly healthy.
Okay.
Talk to me.
And what type of, actually the breed doesn't matter, but what state do you live in?
I live in California.
Okay.
And just so you know, she is a little peek-a-poo. I'm surprised that the breed doesn't matter, because don't some breeds come with particular higher risks for certain types of issues, like hip dysplasia or something?
Right. Well, there are certain conditions. You hit the nail on the head, that there are some hereditary and congenital conditions that are related to different breeds. But we don't price by breed. We do, however, there are some congenital and hereditary conditions specific to breeds that are not covered by our medical plans. And policyholders that call in and enroll are notified that there are certain conditions that will not be covered. And there's a list that's on our website, too, relevant to each breed, that talks to those different conditions. But when we price our plans, we look basically at the age of the pet, the species of the pet. Of course, it's going to be less to insure a gerbil than it would be a dog. We also look at the plan you select and the state you live in as well, because we file with each department of insurance in every state, so rates slightly fluctuate depending on which rates they approve and okay for us.
And I would have to believe, because we pay more, it seems, for everything here in California, that, in fact, we pay more to our veterinarians as well.
Right, right.
And well, more than some states, anyway, right?
Right, right. There are some states that pay more for veterinary care. That's true. You were mentioning that your pet is 2 years of age?
That's right.
Okay, so California, if you're looking at a medical plan for your pet, and that pet is 2 years old, you're looking at about approximately $23 to $25 a month for a medical plan. If you wanted to add on routine care to that, that would probably tack on about $8.25 a month if you added on our routine care coverage.
And what does that $23 to $25 a month buy me?
That buys you, well, for many of our policyholders, it says it buys them the peace of mind. It's basically a plan that reimburses for the testing and treatment of a litany of different conditions. I mean, I often say everything from cuts to cancer our medical plans will reimburse for. So you have accidents like fractures or lacerations, more common, not as serious conditions like ear infections and atopic dermatitis or skin rashes, and even the more serious conditions like cancer, diabetes, and the more debilitating or osteoarthritis, for example, those types of conditions that can really equal heavy bills for the pet owner if they pursue medical care.
And is there a deductible?
There is a deductible. It's $50 per incident. So when you take your pet in, for example, for an ear infection, that deductible would apply for that visit. Any follow-ups for that specific condition or incident, the deductible would not apply.
Now, I understand the concept of pet insurance actually comes from Europe, right?
I believe so. They were one of the first to have pet insurance.
And is there a greater percentage of pets that are insured in European countries, for instance?
It is greater in Europe, that's for sure. I wish I had that statistic at my fingertips, but I don't.
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do, because I did my homework. This is really quite impressive. In England, for instance, nearly 20% of pet owners carry insurance, and in Sweden, 49%.
Right.
Which is fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming these are not policies that you sell, right?
No, we only sell a market within the United States. And I think, I don't know if you have stats also on when it originated in Europe and Sweden, but it's been around a lot longer there.
More than 30 years ago.
Right. There you go. I mean, we've been, we're the oldest and largest and have been around for 27 years, but only selling policies 25 years. And it's a concept that is starting to reach heightened awareness and a critical mass with pet owners and even the veterinary profession. It's amazing that still, when I talk to people about what I do for a living, many are unaware that pet insurance is something that exists.
You know, somehow the notion of insuring one's horse or fancy breed of dog is, I think, easier to swallow. But I'm looking at the list of the kinds of animals that you write policies for, and I'm seeing hedgehogs here.
That's correct, yeah.
You said gerbils. We've got ferrets. We've got chameleons, people, mice. People insure their mice?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have something, you talked about dogs and cats are actually the most popular in terms of pets insured, which makes sense. But we also have something called our VPI, Avian and Exotic Pet Plan, and that will extend coverage, like you said, to everything from a ferret to a hedgehog to a frog or a gecko. So
a frog.
Exactly.
People have frogs as pets, and then
certainly do
purchase insurance on their frog.
Right. Not very many, but some do.
What is the life expectancy of a frog?
I can't imagine. It's very, very long. I'm looking right now at a list of that we pulled back in August, so at the end of summer, just to get an idea of some of the different amphibians and whatnot. And
these people are not whack jobs, right?
No, they just have an extremely tight bond with their pet, where this pet is their, it's a family member, a furry family member. Often some of the veterinarians on staff say that these pets have literally gone from the barn to the backyard to the bedroom. And, I mean, we see this in California and I'm sure in many other states in the United States where people have brought these pets into their home and treat them and treasure them like true family members.
I don't know. Snuggling with a hedgehog? I've got questions about this.
I don't even
know what a hedgehog is, but it doesn't sound like something I'd want to snuggle with.
Right. Yeah.
What is a sugar glider? That's on your list, too.
A sugar glider is an amphibian, which I think is
not also high on the snuggle list.
I'm looking at some others that we actually insure, a couple people insure turtles, which you probably wouldn't have them by your side in bed either. Lizards, we have an iguana here.
I'm wondering how much this says about our society. And, I mean, when you think about this 40 years ago, 30 years ago, people didn't treat their dogs like we treat them today, much less their amphibians. I mean,
right.
You know, an amphibian was something you went down to the five and dime store and got something for 20 cents, and it lived for a very short period of time,
sure.
And that was it. I mean, you couldn't actually write the policy while the pet was still alive in most cases.
Well, I think there's just this different mindset people have this day and age with their pets that you're absolutely right. There's a different perspective, a different outlook on what that pet means to them and how they incorporate into their life and the joy it brings to them and the nurturing and care that they give to that pet to demonstrate that bond and that love.
And in some cases, Brian, I would submit the inability to let go when that's appropriate, too.
As far as when a pet is ill?
When a pet is ill, when a pet is no longer experiencing quality of life,
right.
And where probably, objectively speaking, the most humane thing to do would be to euthanize that pet, there are plenty of people who are unable, for their own reasons, to say goodbye.
Right, that's correct.
And that's rough, too. Now, when we talk about pet insurance, it's interesting because for those of us who've had dogs for years, you know that there are, for many dogs, times that come in their lives where you're looking at potentially very, very expensive medical procedures and
mm-hmm.
care. And so part of what ends up figuring into the decision of whether to proceed with that care or at that point to euthanize are the financial considerations.
Sure.
And that's really, I think, where veterinary pet insurance can really make the difference. It takes that concern out of the equation.
Exactly. It lets you make decisions that lets you pursue the optimal care for that pet. If treatment A is the best treatment and will sustain your pet's health, and then you have a choice B and C, it lets you choose that optimal choice, knowing that you're going to get some reimbursement coming your way from the insurance company. And won't have to let those finances be a determining factor on which treatment you choose or if you choose treatment at all. And I think even with our preventive care plans, too, when people are considering taking their pet in every year for the stuff they should be taking their pet in for, the annual exams, the vaccinations, teeth cleaning, gives you that little push knowing that you're going to get something back from VPI. And when you consider taking your pet in and being responsible and diligent about the preventive care.
And yet, I just did the math, and if you're telling me that it's another $8.25 a month for the routine visits, that's over $100 a year or somewhere in that neighborhood,
right.
which is more than what routine care costs in most places, isn't it?
Well, it depends on how diligent you are and what plan you're veterinarian has put together with you, but looking at our $99 a year preventive care plan, if you use those benefits to your advantage, if you take them in for the inoculations every year and get a teeth cleaning or flea control, that type of thing, you could see about $213 back in that policy term in those 12 months if you use it to its fullest advantage.
I guess I'm not the first person to raise that question, right?
No, not at all. And when people see what they can get back and the discount, so to speak, that they can see on that preventive care, it's a very popular plan with our policyholders. I'd say about 75% of our policyholders that have the medical plans also get the routine care coverage.
Very interesting. Let's talk for just a moment about the kind of money that people go through who don't have pet insurance. I've been very fortunate with my dogs up till now, or stupid in that I didn't sit and add up everything that I spent over time, but I haven't been hit with those, you know, multi-thousand dollar all at once bills that I know so many people contend with. And, it's really problematic. I just ran into a neighbor recently who has two dogs. And one of them, from a very early age, has had one major medical problem after another. And I asked him if he had insurance, and he said, no, I don't. And what's interesting is, had I had it on both dogs, I would have, you know, the older dog has had just the healthiest life, routine medical needs, and that's it. And he said, I would have lost money on that one, but boy, would we have made money back on this second dog. And they're both purebred dogs, so you just don't know.
You don't know. It comes down to, I always view the medical plans as a risk management tool. When people ask me, what is it going to save me in cost, I tell them that's not an accurate way to determine its value. It's there to manage those risks. And how much risk do you want to take as a pet owner? Do you want to bank on your pet not getting into an accident or contracting an illness in its lifetime? Then some people will maybe not see the value in pet insurance. If you want to have that peace of mind, that security, that if your pet should get cancer when it turns middle age and you have that plan in force, it could really lessen the financial burden of some of those bills that rack up into the thousands of dollars when you talk about chemotherapy and surgery to take out tumors, that type of thing. So it comes down to the risk you want to manage. I know as a pet owner myself, I'm not very diligent at putting money away for myself, much less a little separate fund for my pets. So I want to make sure that if the unexpected happens tomorrow or next week or in a few years from now, that I have some help to defray those costs.
What kind of costs are we talking about, for instance, if an animal develops cancer and has to undergo surgery and chemotherapy? How much money can you go through? I guess the sky's the limit, but...
Exactly. Sky's the limit. I mean, on the smaller end, I've seen foreign body ingestion claims where a pet actually swallows an object that needs to be surgically removed. One small incident that you can take care of with surgery, but can run $1,000 to over $2,000, depending on the scenario. And I've seen, chemotherapy and radiation claims that are in the thousands of dollars, too. So, like you said, it just depends on what type of condition happens to strike your pet or what mischief it gets into in terms of the accidents that could happen to it. You never know when danger is going to strike. So,
can a dog get bumped from a policy?
No, they can't unless the pet owner happens to have a lapse in coverage and doesn't renew their policy. There is a chance that if they try to re-enroll in that pet have so many conditions, it might preclude them from coverage. But as long as you keep your policy in good standing and renew it every year, we will not drop a dog or cat or any pet from coverage.
Okay, I want to give people information on how to reach you should they want to find out more.
Okay.
Your web address is
www.petinsurance.com. Very simple to remember.
Unless you're in Canada, in which case it's petplan.com.
Right, another provider, that's correct.
Oh, that's a different provider? Okay,
yes,
but you
yes,
work with them.
We're just in the United States, but they are a provider in Canada.
And what about in Europe? We have listeners to this program all over the world.
Yeah, I don't know of any outside of the United States, to be honest with you, but I'm sure it wouldn't be difficult to find if they did an internet search.
Okay, well, they certainly exist, and they've existed, as I mentioned earlier, for longer than than veterinary pet insurance has existed in the United States. Boy, here are some more statistics that I just think are astounding. Currently, there are more than 61 million dogs in the United States. And then you have all these other kinds of animals. More than 60% of U.S. households, that's 58.2 million people, own a cat or a dog. And more than 2 million pet rabbits in the U.S., 4.6 million household birds.
Touch on rabbits. They are our most popular exotic pet in terms of numbers of insured exotic pets. People like to insure their rabbits.
And they're not so exotic, right?
No.
Not so exotic at all. In fact, you can get...
They're a popular pet, though.
You know, and new rabbits are created all the time. Isn't that where that phrase came from? Right, yeah. Something
right.
like that.
Yeah, rabbits and ferrets, of course, in the states where ferrets are allowed to be in an owner's possession, tend to be our most popular pets insured in that exotic category that we group them under.
So once again, it's www.petinsurance.com, and the toll-free number is 800-USA-PETS.
That's correct.
Brian Iannessa, it was great speaking with you, and thanks so much for participating today with us on Good Dog.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Good Dog Podcast. Our email address is gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.